Long before we had record unemployment, Parshas Behar already describes a scenario where people might lose their job and be in great need of financial assistance. And the Pesukim describe an obligation on us to help someone else out, to get him a job, to give him charity, to give him an interest-free loan. An interest-free loan, because interest to charge him money would be a terrible thing. But what exactly is so terrible about charging interest? Society doesn't feel interest is a terrible thing. Imagine going to the bank and asking for a loan to buy a house, buy a car, taking out money for grad school, and then telling the financial officer, you know, I don't think I'm going to pay this back. It seems pretty unethical of you guys to charge interest. It's not perceived that way. Even we don't feel it to be something so unethical. I have money. I could invest it. I could use it to make a profit. And you're asking for the money for free. Well, that's not fair. Why should I lose out because of that? You want charity? Charity is one thing. But you're asking for a loan. So I have the right to make a little bit of profit off of this. What exactly is so unethical, so terrible about charging interest? And even if you'll explain some kind of a way where it's unethical, but then why would that be limited to Jewish people? Pasuk in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei says, "V'lanachrit hashech," it is permissible to lend to a non-Jewish person with interest. Well, we're not allowed to steal from Goyim, so whatever's wrong with interest, why is it okay to a non-Jewish person? What makes it worse, that the Rambam actually counts this as a formal mitzvah saseh daraisa. Not only may you charge interest when lending to a guy, you are obligated. You cannot give a free loan to a non-Jewish person. You must. The Rambam counts one of the 248 mitzvahs saseh daraisa. He counts keeping Shabbos, he counts shaking the lulav, and he counts when lending to a non-Jewish person, you must charge interest. So that's very confusing. What exactly is so unethical about charging interest to begin with? And whatever's wrong with it, why wouldn't that same thing apply to a Nachri? Rav Schwab explains that we have to really adjust our illustration. We think of it as a coworker, a neighbor, a friend in shul is asking us for money. A stranger is asking us for money. But imagine if it wasn't your coworker, wasn't your friend. Imagine it was your brother, your actual, literal, biological brother. He lost his job, he's having difficulty, you know, paying his mortgage, and he comes to you and he says, look, you have some extra capital, can you please help me out? So in that case, what do you say? Well, I was going to invest this money. What's in it for me? How am I going to profit off this? That seems terrible. Makes you seem so greedy, so villainous. You might as well have a monocle and a handlebar mustache. That seems wrong to us. But Schwab explains that the reason we don't necessarily see ribbis as so unethical is because we don't really properly understand that all Jewish people have the status of our brothers. In fact, in the Pesukim Parshas Behar, which describe the Isser of charging ribbis, Pasuk concludes, V'chei achicha imach. He's your brother. You got to keep him alive. How could you possibly think of making a profit at a time like this? He's your brother. To charge him interest would either be denying that Jewish people are your brothers, or showing that you don't care about making a profit off your brother in need. And that would explain why there's no problem with charging interest to a Nachri. There's nothing inherently wrong with charging interest. It makes sense. It's just business. But if he's a Nachri, he's a stranger, you don't have to give him that free service. You don't have to give him that opportunity that you give to your brother. The Pasuk in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei is very meduyak. It says, "L'nachrit hashech," to a stranger, you can, or maybe should, charge interest. "U'liachicha lo tashech," but to your brother? How can you charge interest to your brother? In fact, what does it say when you extend the exact same courtesies to family and strangers indiscriminately? What does it show when we treat our families and people at the office or on the subway exactly the same way? Obviously, we can't steal or damage or harm strangers in any way, but to love them the same way we love our families? That would be insulting to our families to give the same treatment to everybody, to give the family discount to anybody who walks into our store. To treat the stranger well, but to treat the family member better, to give certain courtesies only for those that we love. And this distinction also helps with another mitzvah. Parshas Behar begins with the agricultural laws of Shemitah, that we can't work and plant the field during year 7. But Parshas Behar doesn't tell the whole story. Parshas Re'eh tells us the second half, that during Shemitah also, not only is the land canceled, is the working in the field stopped, but Shemitah also cancels out loans, what's called Shemitas Ksafim, the canceling of the Kesef. Shemitah comes, if someone hasn't paid back their debt, the debt is wiped away. And here too, the Pasuk has a chilik between money that's owed by a Jewish person and money that's owed by a non-Jewish person. Money that's owed by a non-Jewish person, Torah says you're allowed to collect after Shemitah. And one step further, and if it sounds familiar, you can stop me, The Rambam, based on the Sifrei, counts this as a formal mitzvah saseh d'areisa. One is obligated to collect the loan after Shemitah is over from the non-Jewish person. One cannot forego the loan like he does to a Jewish person. Again, it seems strange. What's so terrible about giving the same courtesy to an Achri? The answer is that it's not showing any love to your family, it's not showing any love to your brother, when you give out the same kindness, the same chesed, the same free loans, the loan forgiveness, to everybody. If I give out the same forgiveness to all borrowers equally, then what exactly makes family family? I'm sure I'm not the only person who's heard the story about the non-Jewish man who kept a yarmulke in the glove compartment of his car. Not because he was secretly Jewish or because he had plans to convert, because someone once told him, if your car ever breaks down on the highway and no one's stopping for you, put this on your head and see how quickly people stop. There's nothing unethical about not stopping on the highway for someone, but for your brother? How could you not stop for your brother? And even before Rav Schwab, the Torah Tamima, Parshas Kisetze, he spells all this out. He writes that mitzvahs like Ribbis and Shemitas Ksafim have always led to much anti-Semitism. People have said that Jewish people are racist, that they only give these things to Jewish people and to non-Jewish people, they treat badly, they charge them interest, and they make sure the loans are paid back. And it's a terrible, terrible thing which led to many pogroms and many terrible treatment of Jewish people. But the Torah Tamima explains that the question doesn't make any sense. He says, look around to the business world. He himself was a businessman, and he writes that it's normal business practice for people in the same firm, for partners working together in the same company, to allow each other certain favors that are based on reciprocity. I take a loan from you, you take a loan from me. Same is true of neighbors sharing food or friends sharing cars. Certain people have a mutual relationship where there's reciprocity, where we expect each other to do these favors for us, and it would not be considered racist to not give the same favors to strangers off the street. Just because I treat someone better because we have a good relationship and I expect the same from him doesn't mean that I'm a bad person for not giving that to everybody else. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim to take us to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, Klal Yisrael was created as a nation, as one family. A nation of brothers, a nation of people who are together, people who are bound by the same code of laws, people who can expect reciprocity from each other, the same way, same rules I'm going to follow, you're going to follow. If I need a loan, you'll give it to me interest-free. And if you need a loan, I'll give it to you interest-free. If I have an outstanding loan which Shemitah comes, it goes away. And the same goes for you. But if we asked a loan from a Nachri, is he going to give us interest-free? Probably not. So why am I obligated to give him something that he's not obligated to give to me? We have a mutual agreement not to kill and to steal and to damage each other. That goes both ways. But certain special favors that family shares among each other, it's not elitist to think that only belongs to my closest friends, my closest family members. Those special favors are only for Achenu b'nei Yisrael, our brothers. Now, over the years, there's been many changes to these halachos. As Chazal saw, it was very costly for lenders to be able to give up without interest or to, you know, cancel the loans. Chazal came up with Prizbal, and they came up with Heter Iska as ways to circumvent some of the losses incurred by the malva, by the lender. But it doesn't take away from the core value over here, take away from the obligation. The mitzvah applies to Jewish people, but not to Nachrim, as a way of showing a great camaraderie, a great brotherhood that we share among fellow Yidden. And notice the Torah never says that, well, if the guy wears a yarmulke of a certain size or a certain color, then it's okay to charge him interest. The Torah makes no such distinction. The Torah doesn't care what neighborhood he lives in, where his kids go to school, what nusach he davens. They're all included in achicha. And sometimes we forget that. You know, even the best of brothers, you know, it's normal for siblings to fight, and sometimes they act like they hate each other. But deep down, when push comes to shove, when one is in great financial need or someone's life is being threatened, brothers stand up for each other. And if there's been only one bright spot during this terrible, difficult pandemic, it's that we've seen a great level of achdus that we haven't really seen before. Now, Hatzalah doesn't care what you wear. Our appreciation for Hatzalah has not discriminated among different types of colored shirts or different types of nusach or different types of community standards. The organizations that have shown tremendous compassion toward mental health workers and toward those who are dealing with terrible financial troubles, it's been heartwarming. It's crossed over religious lines. This is what the Torah has in mind when it talks about mitzvos like ribbis, to extend special favors like interest-free loans to Achenu b'nei Yisrael. Hashem should help us keep this achdus long after this pandemic subsides, So you can approach Matan Torah ke'ish echad, b'lev echad.